God of all people, from every tribe and language, you call true witnesses who sing your praise, live your grace, and work for peace. May we share their faith and know our need of you, that we may be a blessing to the hunger of the world through Jesus Christ, whose body we are. Amen. Two things. First, thank you, Melissa, Chrissy. It's good to be back in the Diocese of Olympia. We got to come up with some better reasons for me coming back, though. Let's think about that. Secondly, I have a tendency to talk too quickly. And as someone who didn't hear what either Carla or Rachel said, I want you to raise your hand and wildly, if you can't hear or understand me, and I'll slow down. The Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to Jerry Shigaki. On this mountain, the Most High will make for all people a feast of rich food, a feast of well-matured wines, of rich food filled with marrow. In the summer of 2004, after I had been elected to come here, but before I had moved, Jerry called and invited me to join the other Olympians at the Episcopal Asian Ministry Conference in Burlingame, California, a stone's throw from my home. It was your usual conference. There were meetings, there were presentations, there were lectures. And this conference I love, there was always a little bit of juggling for space. It will not surprise you to hear that what made the biggest impression on me and what made me know that I would love this new position and my coworkers was the closing banquet in a fancy restaurant in San Francisco, Chinatown. It was a traditional banquet, 8 of us at the table. It seems like there were way more than 8 courses, including some foods I didn't recognize. But as my mother taught me, and at Jerry's encouragement, I ate everything that was put before me. Some of which had to me strange tastes and textures. I later learned that the jellyfish that I ate was a delicacy that I will say I hope was the one time in my life I ever have to eat it. So many memories of Jerry happen at meals. Dim sum, St. Peter's great takeout lunches, Sudanese celebrations with mullah and kisra, potlucks with Cambodian noodles, soul food at Kingfish Cafe, lunches at Hiroshi's, and lots of pizza, for there was always food at meetings. Carla spent a lot of time cooking. How better do we connect with each other than to sit at the table and eat together? I think my favorite feast was when we were sharing Dungeness crab with the delegation from St. Paul's, New Orleans, after Katrina. We jammed all those people in our little apartment at a long table with crab and sourdough, nothing else. John, the sexton, who wasn't usually invited to these kinds of parties, thought that this table had been set just for him by God the Most High. It was Crab. Of course it was set by God. Jerry kept finding off other people's plates the leftover legs that they weren't finishing and handing them to John. John, this teeny tiny little man, ate more crab than any of the rest of us. I've never seen anybody eat like that. It was a vision of the heavenly feast and the heavenly banquet. So many of us, all from different ways and places in our lives, sitting around that table, laughing and remembering Katrina. Oh, yes. Fine feasting for everyone is good news proclaimed by both Jerry and Jesus. Both of them delighted in expanding the table, including those who had never been invited before. And they seemed to love putting folks together who wouldn't meet each other in any other way. Jesus got in trouble with the Pharisees for sharing meals with those considered unclean or sinners, outcasts. But how many of us have found ourselves to be sinners and outcasts and unclean? And how many of us have friends we wouldn't have met without Jerry? How many who we felt didn't belong were invited to that table, including us? Time and again, both Jesus and Jerry sat down and ate with folks, sharing good food and good news. It was at just such a feast that Jesus prayed. I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one. That they all may be one. Let's go back to Chinatown. After the sometimes strange and sometimes such sumptuous and always amazing dinner, there was a short, that's different, welcome speech. Then I found myself among the participants, the delegates all dressed to the nines, the men in beautiful suits or chic guayaberas, the women in lovely evening dresses, gorgeous kimonos, saris, Filipina dresses with big butterfly sleeves, all on the dance floor. They brought me out there, and we were doing the chicken dance. Oh my gosh, I said to Jerry, I have found my people. This Puerto Rican Hibara and Wasp girl found her people doing the chicken dance in a fancy Chinese restaurant. It wasn't a surprise to appreciate and delight in new foods or in new friends whose histories and lives brought so much delight to my ears. The surprise was how much we belonged to one another. How welcome we were, how really we were all one. I learned the chicken dance at the Asian Ministries Conference. Who would think that? I was rocking and rolling at the UBE, the United Black Episcopalians Conference. Ethnic ministries was a little bit of heaven for this person. I got to dance and sing and shout and carry on. It was just like heaven. Jerry invited me and so many others into places you and I were surprised to find ourselves, and where we discovered we belonged. One person told me that Jerry invited her to the Holy Family of Jesus. She ended up staying for months, helping out at the congregation. You hike with Jerry, next thing you know, you're worshiping with a Sudanese congregation, and their concerns are your concerns. Jerry was one of the folks who taught me how to be a bishop. He taught others to be priests, deacons, and effective lay ministers. He put us right there in the right place at the right time. Come and see, the disciples said. Come and see. Jerry invited us to come and see, and we stayed. We were one. But the truth isn't all dancing and feasts with mature wines. Of course, another aspect of these new relationships is learning how our lives are intertwined in not so beautiful ways, in ways that benefited some and hurt others. And because Asian Episcopal Asians, Black Episcopalians, the First Nations community, Sudanese, Salvadorans, Mexicans, and so many others were now my people, the truth of colonialism, the hubris of the doctrine of discovery, the horrors of slavery, the indignity of internment, and the myriad other ways the powerful have oppressed and stolen from those they call other, these all mattered in a whole new way. I had read lots of books on the internment of the Japanese, but now it was personal. I had never known about Juneteenth until Carla taught me. Now it breaks my heart. Jerry taught us gently, telling the truth with love and grace. Sometimes we'd go for lunch, followed by a guided tour to a new exhibit at the Wing Luke Museum. He showed us the truth, and then we worked on the so what of what we'd learned. There were times when he helped me, and maybe you, repent, and more importantly, return to the Lord. It is essential to face the truth. But Jerry wasn't about guilt. Jerry was about moving forward, working at ways to tear down unjust systems and taking steps to bring healing. This was, I believe, Jerry's most powerful work, not only as canon for ethnic ministries, but all his adult life, to be a healer, peacemaker, and reconciler whenever possible. And as priest and prophet, to remind us that we too are called to be healers, peacemakers, and reconcilers, so that we become one as Jesus and his Abba are one. The future of the world depends on it. Jesus said, I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. To Jerry, each and every one of us was precious. That was his word, precious, meaning beloved, holy, special, unique. Jerry used all these words to describe the people he was called to serve, refugees in Rome, folks at a struggling parish, people of color discerning a deeper ministry, all of them, and delightfully all of us, you and I, were precious in Jerry's eyes. Precious, deeply valuable. In fact, I suspect of ultimate value. For Jerry, the truest expression of his relationship with God was his relationship with the person he was with and with those he was called to serve. How different this world would be if all God's people lived this way. Yes, everything is for your sake, so that grace, as it extends to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. Grace in oneness, grace in feasting, grace in precious people, grace in relationships. All these are for our sake, so that grace, as it extends to more and more people, may increase with thanksgiving to the glory of God. Feast, one, relationship, precious. These are the key words of Jerry's gospel. And there is one last word or concept I need to highlight in the gospel according to Jerry. It's one of the most common words in the Greek New Testament. I'd have to ask Carla, but I think it's probably the most common word. But it's often omitted in English translations. Picture this. You're having an important or deep or both conversation with Jerry present. Perhaps it's a Bible study, or we've just watched Crash for the umpteenth time. Jerry is quiet, although the conversation is lively. And as it begins to come to its culmination, Jerry says, "Yes, and," or he says, "Yes, and." As I've reflected on the ministry and friendship we shared over the years, this word "and" kept coming back to me. This posture of a new possibility, this openness to other perspectives, is a means of grace. So often the conversations are rooted in the binary or what we've always known to be true. Jerry offered or asked for third and fourth and fifth alternatives. The Holy Spirit seemed to be walking hand in hand with him, whispering in his ear, and. The good news of Jesus Christ is all over "and." In the Episcopal Church, we talk about both "and." "And" offers so many possibilities. The possibility that we can be precious and unique and one. The possibility that we are different and have different groups, gifts to offer, and we are all part of one body. The possibility that the truth will make us miserable and it will set us free. The possibility that a potluck supper and a sushi lunch arriving on a conveyor belt and the Eucharist are all the promised feast made by the Most High God. My sisters and brothers, there are so many stories, Going into the abandoned house in New Orleans just didn't fit into this sermon. But if each of us, if we want to remember and honor Jerry, we will have to proclaim the gospel in our own way. But perhaps you will take one of Jerry's words and make it your own. One, as in, may they all be one, as in, these are my people. Relationship, as in, with whom and in whom will I know Jesus. Precious, as in, you are precious and beloved. Feast, as in, God will make a feast and be known to us in the breaking of bread. In the feast we will share with Jerry in just a few moments. And, as in, Jesus is both human and divine. And, as in, we are both sinners and saints. And, as in, the reign of God is right here and not yet. May Jerry's love and ministry live in you, so that grace, as it extends to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God.